Heavenly Father, I do thank you that we can come and worship you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that if there's any hardness in our hearts, that you would break it up, that we would give our hearts to you, Lord. Father, open our ears to your word and our hearts to your compassion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In an article that was printed in a magazine called Darling Magazine, never read it, but it was in April 2015, the question was asked of whether can adults develop childlike trust? And I guess for some of you, you probably have an answer to that already formed in your mind. But we can all remember times when, as a child, we've stood on a high wall and shouted, "Mummy, Daddy, catch me," and we've wanted to leap off a high wall. And it's in that full flight, isn't it, where you've left the wall and you've not yet got to the parent, where you feel that total liberation, like you're flying and there's nothing to restrict you. And it's just that wonderful, exhilarating feeling. And you've got your eyes firmly fixed on the parents that got arms outstretched, ready to catch you. And you land, and they've got that holding you close to them as you've leapt off the wall. It's the absolute joy and excitement that you feel, well, both people feel, the child and the parent, in that experience of the child leaping off the wall. The child enjoys the exhilaration and the excitement and the experience of leaping off into nothingness, but having that security. And the parent there feeling that wonderful sense of joy and delight in the child's delight. Where did that childlike trust go? As society becomes more and more dependent on technologies to communicate, things like WhatsApp and Twitter and all of those Facebook things and technologies that there are so many of them these days, that communication tends to be on those forums. So people share things like, "Oh, I've been uptown today," or "I've been to visit somebody," or "I had this for tea," or "that for my breakfast," or whatever other menial things that go on in life. But then because of this surface level of communication, where's the real deep communication then between one another, where you're able to really be vulnerable and have that communication with one another, where you're telling people the real intimate pain, sorrow, hurt, excitement, joy, all those experiences that we have in life? You don't get those on Twitter and Facebook, because it's the personal where they come through. And as adults, we can become battle weary. So we go through life challenges, and someone might reject us somewhere in our lives. Someone else might say, "You'll never amount to anything." Someone I might say, "Well, you're not up to much." And each time these things and these messages get said, that there's a layer of hardness or a layer of protection that goes around the heart. So as life carries on and we face more situations, a layer goes on and a layer goes on and a layer goes on. And then we see things on the TV, like starving children or families that have got nowhere to live, that they're, you know, makeshift, or they've travelled miles. And we can see them on the TV screens and think, "Oh, some charity's asking for more money." Because the hardness has got in, that we've been desensitized to actually having a heart of compassion for these people. Hebrews 3:7-9 says, "The Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in wilderness." So how do we mature in our faith and still retain that childlikeness? We want to get through all of those situations without becoming desensitized, because it is through that sensitive heart that we can become aware of God's presence. We can become aware of the Holy Spirit prompting us to do something for somebody else. To have that childlike faith is what's required in the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples had spent years in the presence of Jesus, and yet we can read in the gospel account of Matthew 18:1-4 how they still didn't get it. They didn't understand that childlike quality that God looks for. So I'm just going to read you those four verses from Matthew's gospel. "At the time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" It's really clear there, isn't it, that we need to retain that childlike quality. Our mistake is probably very similar to that of the disciples in that example, that we associate somehow authority with exerting power over others. So the disciples were asking, because they wanted to know, who's going to be the big cheese when we get up to heaven or in the heavenly realm? And the answer they got was very, very different. In the kingdom of heaven, the power and the authority is given for the overthrowing of Satan. Not for getting control over other people. The childlikeness that we need is to be humble, to believe what God says, to believe he is who he says he is, to believe his word, and to trust. There's many people who confuse the two characteristics of childlikeness and childishness. And we've probably all, as adults, known somebody that we've said, "Oh, they're just so childish," or "You're behaving like a child." I know that sometimes that I've thought that of my husband, and I've said as much. But childish behavior is recognizable, and most of us as adults would recognize that behavior in another adult. Because we expect something different, don't we? As people mature, we don't expect to see childish behaviors portrayed. So childishness is where somebody would demand to have their own way. Their self-centeredness, they're selfish, they want what they want. And if they don't get what they want, they can pout or scream or shout or send you to Coventry, all these little ways of trying to get what they want. But there's also many of us as Christians that behave this way with our Heavenly Father. We demand things in prayer and expect to receive them. We expect God to protect us from those difficulties in life. And people will say things, "Well, if there really was a God, then why would he let this happen to me? Why would this have happened, or why would that have happened? if God really cared, behaving like childish people instead of fully matured Christians that know God. And this is childish behavior because we know God's word tells us that we will all have trials. John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we know that life is going to throw things at us, but God is not saying, put a shield around your heart to protect yourself. He's saying, I've overcome. All you've got to do is trust me. Childish faith is the opposite of childishness. It's not self-seeking or self-serving. Childlike faith looks to glorify God in what we do, not to make ourselves look fantastic in front of other people. We have to let go and let God, trust in him. And many Christians, as well as adults, really struggle with that letting go. In fact, if we put it into the metaphorical terms that I used at the beginning, as adults, we struggle to leap off the wall. We struggle because we will pace up and down on that wall and we'll think, okay, well, how am I going to get off? It's too high. What if I fail? What if I fall? What if I look stupid? What if I do this? And we build up all these things, all these reasons in our mind where we just won't leap out in faith. Instead of having our eyes firmly fixed on what God's word tells us, what he's speaking to us, and just launching out there and thinking, okay, God, I know you're going to catch me. But we don't. We pace up and down the wall and we talk about the problem that's there. We say, oh, well, you know, I'm worrying about this and I've got this in the way. And we mull over the problems. We focus on the problem instead of focusing on God and what his word is telling us, because the answers are always there, always there. If we look back at the reading that we heard earlier on in Luke's gospel, verse 17 of chapter 18 says, and this is Jesus speaking, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. But where is the kingdom of God? Is it up there waiting for us? Is that what we call heaven? When we leave this earth, is that what we think the kingdom of God is? Well, no. If we look at Luke's gospel a little bit earlier on, the Pharisees have asked Jesus exactly the same thing. They said they wanted to know about when the kingdom of God would come. And Jesus told them in Luke 17, verse 20 to 21, the kingdom of God will not come with careful watching, or when some people say, here it is, or there it is. The kingdom of God is within you. So God's given it to all of us. Those of us that believe and trust, that's where it is, right in there. It's not anywhere else. It's right inside of you. God's given us all the kingdom. To those of us that believe and trust in him, believe in his son for our salvation. Jesus demonstrated lots of power when he was walking this earth in his ministry. And some fantastic people have absolutely captured the promises that are in God's word. And they've taken God's word at its word in faith and took those words with a childlike faith and believed that what it says is the truth. Now, many of you have probably heard of somebody that's called Smith Wigglesworth. It's a very unusual name. And he was born in 1859 in Yorkshire. And when he was a child, he was illiterate, so he ended up working in fields, just picking turnips. And he was brought up as a Methodist, was taken to the church with his parents, and he married eventually a lady called Polly. And it was Polly who taught him to read the Bible, because she had a strong faith. And so he learnt to read the Bible. Now, the two of them became part of the Salvation Army. And Polly had great courage and a spirit of boldness, and she would preach. And she tried to encourage Smith to preach, but he wouldn't because he'd got a stutter. So he would work in the children's ministry, and she was out there boldly proclaiming the gospel message. Now, one day, Smith went to a service where the preacher, who had already been filled with the Holy Spirit, gave what's called an altar call. And it's interesting that before the service tonight, we were talking about this very point, about having an altar call. And really what we mean by that is if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, or if you haven't received Jesus as your Lord, then it's an opportunity to come forward and have prayer, have somebody to pray over you so that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, this is what happened to Smith, that he'd been brought up in the faith, but he had never been filled. So he went forward in this service, and there were hands laid on him, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was what we would call baptized in the Holy Spirit. So he went home that evening, and he said to his wife, "Tonight, I want to preach." She was a bit surprised, because after all this time of trying to ask him, and him saying, no, I'm not going to do it, that he actually said he wanted to preach. So that night, instead of her standing up, he stood up and he preached, no stutter, preached a powerful message. She was the first down the aisle, and she said, "That's not the Smith that I know. I want what you've got." And that was the start of his powerful, powerful ministry. Smith was actually accused many times of being aggressive. And some of the members in the congregation, or those that came to listen to him preach or speak, would be concerned about that he appeared curt or rude or forceful. But at one time when he was in one of his services, and he kept demanding something of somebody that needed a healing, and somebody in the congregation was heckling and shouting, "Leave that poor woman alone!" And he said, "You mind your own business. I know the Lord's business." And the woman was healed. That's how powerful he was. He took that leap of faith, and he leapt off that wall. He was fully out there for God. He read the Bible. He wouldn't read anything else. He just submerged himself in God's word. That's the first thing he learned to read, and that's the only thing he learned to read. He was fully on fire for God, because he took the words like a child and thought, it's all here, it's all there. And once he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, then he lived it out, serving God. That's the flow of the Holy Spirit. Smith walked that walk, and he certainly had those childlike qualities, the liberation of nothing holding him back. his eyes were fixed on God. And that's where our eyes should be, firmly fixed on God and what he's saying to us. And we need to practice just letting go and letting God, not letting that fear stir up that holds us back. When we feel that prompting of God sometimes, when you feel like God's just wanting you to say hello to somebody or smile at somebody or have a few words with somebody or to pick up the phone because you're thinking of somebody. And we think, oh no, I've got to make the tea, I've got to do the ironing, I've got to make the kids' sandwiches or whatever it is. And we put it off. They're the little things that we start with in the obedience of having that childlike faith. And just trusting, most of the time you will never ever know whether what you did had a lasting impact on that person. You might never know until that is when you reach the heavenly place and the good Lord is able to reveal to you the people that you've impacted on by your obedience, by that smile, by that telephone call, by that email or whatever it is, or taking somebody out to dinner, or just smiling at a vagrant or throwing a pound in the box or whatever God is prompting or calling you to do. Whatever is the leap off the wall in your life, it's the childlikeness that we need to practice, isn't it? Trusting God, taking him at his word, strengthening our faith until we get to the point where we see those promises manifest, not only in our lives, but those people that are around us. So whatever situation has been causing you worry or anxiety, has been laying heavy on your heart, give it over to God. Cast your care upon the Lord and leave it there. Just leave it there, knowing that he's told you to do that. Not because he wants you to carry on worrying about it, it's because he's saying, I've got this, I'm going to catch you. Just don't worry about it. I'm here. And it is that true trust and knowing that he is going to bring about good. So whatever situation that you're struggling with and trying to find a solution to, let's seek God's word. Let's look for his wisdom in situations, his way through. To be just like the little children that says, Daddy, can you help me? Daddy, I need you. Daddy, I'm feeling a bit lonely. Daddy, I'm feeling a bit that I need a cuddle. All those things that we do as children so easily. As a child, you just climb up on your parent's knee when you want a cuddle or a kiss. And that's how it is with God. God is so close to us. He can be small enough to be right next to you. He's big enough that he holds the world in the palm of his hand. That's an amazing God. But we have a tendency to just bring it down into our terms and to think of God as just like you or me, when he is this enormous, great, good Father that we have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you feed us on your word, that you speak to each one of us. Father, there are so many things that you're speaking now, and I pray that your saints that are gathered here, Lord, would have a spirit of boldness, they would have the spirit of courage to step out, to take the step off the wall and let you catch them. Father, may the ears be open to your word, to your voice, to your calling, to your leading, to the rest and the peace that Jesus came to bring. Let us use the power, Lord, that you have given to us to defeat the enemy, not to overcome one another. And we ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.